Welcome to the Wayne Bennett's Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now, here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's Podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Bennett, and this is episode 121. It's November the 27th, 2023. Our guest today is a retired command sergeant for the Army, Sergeant Major from the Army. He's a businessman, and he's also a wrestling coach and Woodrow Wilson High School assistant. And Mr. Jeff Neal, welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Are you from Beckley originally?
Yes, sir. I grew up in Prosperity. Went to school at Cranberry Prosperity and then Beckley Junior High and then Woodrow.
When did you get into wrestling?
Actually, the school started wrestling again when I was in the ninth grade. Back then, it was still Beckley Junior High. And so that was my first year of wrestling, was the ninth grade. And then, of course, I wrestled all through high school. I didn't go on to college with it, but just had a passion for it and have stayed involved with it at some level ever since, just trying to help somebody somewhere.
Did you play any other sports as a kid?
I did. I was a big baseball player, actually. So I played all through baseball. That was my father's sport, and it was our pastime together, him and I. And so I did have a pretty big passion for baseball. But honestly, when I got to high school with wrestling, it took over. And that's what I put all my time into.
Now, who was your first wrestling coach?
My first coach was Ron Sauls, who still works in the school system today. And then, of course, he had Coach Alexander from Beckley Junior High. He was the librarian back then, and he assisted. But yeah, he was my first coach.
Yeah, Ron has been around a long time, and I coached against him back in junior high in football and wrestling. And the thing I always liked about Ron, he was a competitor, and I appreciated that. He wanted to win, and I liked to win. And in football, we practiced right beside of each other in the old Dust Bowl. And so we were pretty good rivalries. And the same thing in wrestling. You know, that's one thing when Ron, when you played against any of Ron's teams, you're going to play against their best, their A team. I mean, he's going to bring what he could have, what he could bring.
Well, and I did play football for Ron that year as well. And that's really what, from that point is when he said, "Hey, we need you to wrestle. We need," and of course he'd done that with several of us. Not that I had anything special, but you know, he pulled a lot of the football players into the wrestling program. And so that's where I found my passion with the sport.
Well, that was one of the pluses for me. I was a football and wrestling coach and track coach for a while. And, we didn't have a weightlifting program or anything. So if you didn't play basketball, I expected you to be out for wrestling. And not that you had to be, but we could persuade a little bit. But now, when you went to Woodrow, who was your coach at Woodrow?
So that first year there was Coach Bowling.
Charlie Bowling?
Charlie Bowling, yep. And then after that first year, came over to Phil Bartram. And I had him the rest of the way through high school.
Okay. Yeah, Charlie had, I don't know, Charlie was a tremendous football player.
Absolutely.
And he helped me coach football a couple years and fantastic defensive mind. I mean, the guy and special teams, he was really something else. And I don't know how he got hooked up into wrestling. He didn't wrestle in high school, but he was also in track. He was a state discus champion a couple years and great guy, great with kids. And I think Buddy McKinney helped some.
Buddy McKinney helped, yes, sir. And there was another guy, too, and his name slips my mind. I was trying to think of it.
Shane Ritter.
Shane Ritter, that's exactly what it was.
Yep. Now, Shane had a pretty good history of wrestling. He'd wrestled at Shady Springs, and he was a 98-pounder, I think, back in the day. And he was a pretty good wrestler. And Buddy also, Buddy wrestled the same time my oldest son did. And he came up through the youth program, and he knew a lot of wrestling. So you wrestled with guys like Mark Barney and Sean Bartram and
Gail Scott.
Chuck Wimbish.
Yeah, yes, sir.
I know you qualified for the States two times.
Three times. Yes, sir. I went all the way down three times, and I never did. I was the guy that, you know, back then I didn't completely comprehend that the better you do in a regional, the better spot in a bracket. And I think all 3 years I faced the same guy from Parkersburg, Timmy Higgins.
Really?
Who was the state champion every year there. He's just a tough individual. So I took my first loss, first match every year, same guy. Tremendous guy, though. He's the kind of guy that would come. I think one of the things that made me passionate about wrestling, he'd come sit on the side of the mat with you after he just beat you, and he would talk to you, mentor you through things, and teach me stuff. So that's something I noticed about the sport early on that I loved. You could be competitors and you could be friends, and everybody liked to see everybody do well. And so Timmy was the kind of guy that the better you wrestled, the more challenge he got. He liked that. And so it's a different mindset, of course, as you know. So, but yeah, now that was the toughest thing. And I think for me, I didn't always have the mat time or the experience levels and different things that some of the other kids in the room had, wrestling at the YMCA growing up and those kind of things. And my younger years, like I said, was all baseball. And so once I got introduced to wrestling, though, fell in love. And it was something I wish I had put more time into, longer, you know, more years into. But so, yeah, that's what keeps me involved with it today is what it does for kids. So.
Yeah, when we started the youth program around here, the first tournament we ever had, we let schools put, like Coal City would have a team, Crab Orchard would have a team, and nobody knew anything much about wrestling. I think we charged the kids 75 cents a piece to enter the tournament, but we kept a team score. Man, we had 400 or 500 kids, and they probably knew nothing hardly about wrestling, it was then I was working at the Y, and I said, this is going to catch on, you know. And so once we started the program and got it going, then we kind of started getting a little confidence. We took a team and went to Parkersburg and wrestled and got thumped twice. Well, the kids that went with us, we came back and said, we know what we got to do now. Yeah, so right. But I always said that the AAA state championship has got to go through Wood County. Most of the time it does.
It hasn't changed a lot. No.
Now, you graduated in 96.
Yes, sir.
What kind of music did you listen to back in high school?
Well, I got to tell you, I think I was a rock and roll kid back in those days. And, of course, some country. I don't think you could live around here and not have some of that as part of your life. But my mother actually had me on what I would call the older rock and roll. She, you know, not kind of the country rock mix, if you will, you know. And so grew up on a lot of things like Creedence and you know, those guys. But, you know, in those days, best I can remember anyway, I can remember playing some Jimi Hendrix and things like that, maybe a little bit older than my time even. But that's what I grew up on. So.
And when you graduated, what did you do after graduation?
Well, I tell you, I took 1 year and I did college here locally. Back when it was College of West Virginia, just transitioned from Beckley College. And I say a year, but it was really a 2 semesters, so not a complete actual calendar year. So I'm the youngest of 3 sons. And my parents were paying my brother's way through college. He was a year older than me. And so I was working full-time at Beckley Honda for Jim Lucas, which was a key experience in my life. And going to college, and I saw a need for, you know, I was paying for that college myself. And so I was trying to figure out a way to start out my life. And so that's when I decided to join the Army. And left home and shipped out, and then here I am 28 years later.
So. Now, when you joined the Army, was the United States involved in any kind of conflicts at that time?
No, not then. You know, there was just a handful of years off of the Desert Storm, Desert Shield operation. And so when I joined up, there wasn't a lot of conflict. There was some a lot of training scenarios and a lot of overseas partnerships and things going on, which, you know, my vision of those things at those days were pretty limited. The low guy on the pole starting out. And it stayed that way all the way up and through really 9/11 kind of changed the Army life forever since, really. So that was my first real experience with worldwide issues. And plus, I was in a position that at that time I was a staff sergeant, an E6 squad leader, which you've usually got you know, 8 to 12 guys on a team that you're in charge of. And so my perspective was a little different as well. And so I kind of understood the Army a little more and how the Army works and all those things. And so I actually had my first deployment in 2003 after that. So that deployment was 18 months long. that we were gone for. So it was a long time. But it was, the odd part about it is all those years in the Army I'd trained, you know, we always trained against the Russian force, right? The Army versus Army, uniform versus uniform. And then when that happened, it, we really, everybody became somewhat of a police force at that point. And so everything was urban operations, and we were fighting an guerrilla warfare, ununiformed enemy that blended in with the population. And so everything I knew about the Army changed, and how we fought had changed, and how we'd done our lives. And it lasted that way, of course, 20 years, as most of society knows. That was the kind of war we had. And so majority of my career was done that way. And then here, within the past few years, the Army started to shift some focus back to some force on force and how we want to posture ourselves to be ready for world conflict, and still maintaining our skills that we learned over the past 20 years of urban operations. So, and that's a big transition that I found myself as one of the few guys left in my unit that understood the old force on force training. So a lot of those guys had already come and gone. So great experience. Wouldn't trade any of it for the world. Glad to be retired, just because it's hard on your family, that life is, you know. Hard to put down some roots and settle in. But at the same time, it's postured us for where we are today. And so definitely it's something I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you for your service. Like, I know everybody out there appreciates that. And when did you get married?
So got married in 1998, 2 years after I actually joined up. So my wife, she didn't get a choice in the living the Army life, but she has fully embraced it and she loves it. And I tell you, there's a lot of wives out there that of soldiers of mine that model themselves after her. She just couldn't ask for a better Army life. She's fully committed from day one. And a matter of fact, she still works with the Army today. She works with what's called Family Program. She's a civilian, what they call military authority, like a contract kind of position through the state. So she still does that today because she's got a real passion for soldiers and their families and whatever she can do to help them.
Yeah, I know one of these last deployments you had, I mean, she had the three boys at home still trying to fool with the wrestling and all that. That was quite a responsibility. Is she from the Barley family?
She is. Yes, sir. Her grandfather was Vernon Barley. And if you're familiar with the Barley family, most people know Mr. Barley, the preacher, and then his sons were Vernon and Robert, and of course there's some daughters in there, Ray and Paul, and then some daughters, Ruth and Elizabeth, but a wonderful family. And the odd part is I've known that family most of my life. My father was good friends with Robert Barley, and so I can remember just being a little guy and helping with bale and hay and all those things, and but never did know my wife until about the junior high years was when I met her. And so we started dating when I was in the 10th grade. And we've been together ever since. So.
Now, her grandfather was Ernest Barley.
Great-grandfather.
Great-grandfather.
Yes, sir. Grandfather was Vernon.
When my dad was in the hospital, and this was back when I was 39, 40 years old, and he was having a pretty hard time, and he never went to church too much, but he listened to Ernest Barley on the radio all the time.
Yeah.
And so one particular time, it looked like Dad wasn't going to make it, and he wanted to see a minister, and he asked to see Ernest Barley. So my sister called Ernest Barley, and he was up at the hospital within an hour.
Yeah,
and they prayed and talked, and it was the last time. I don't think my dad lived past the next weekend, so it was really important to the family. And And I knew I'd listened to him some, but I never had met the guy, but he was just a tremendous example.
He was an outstanding man. And I'll tell you, he is, you can see someone's blessings in their own life oftentimes when you look at their families, and that's the way the whole family is. So he was an outstanding man, and all his sons were outstanding men. And so it's a lot to live up to, I'll be honest, but it's also a good source of pride to know him and just be a part of that family. Great bunch of people.
Now, her dad, is he Johnny Dodson?
Johnny Dodson, yes, sir.
I think I went to school with Johnny Dodson.
Yeah, you probably did.
Yeah, he's from Bradley area.
He is, and yes,
sir. Yeah, I don't, of course, Woodrow at that time had 2,000 students, you know, and I don't think I had any classes, but I remember him, some of those boys from Bradley, Ronnie Bowling and Phil Craddock and some of those guys down that direction. And some tough guys from over that area.
Still are, to be honest. they sure are. He's just been another father to me, to be honest. You know, ever since I've started dating Heather way back years ago, he's treated me like one of his own, but a tremendous man. Just an honor to know him for sure.
Now, when you came back around, you started helping in like around 2007, you started helping with the Beckley Junior Eagles.
I did, yep.
Team.
In that days, Tommy Williams was coaching that team. I don't recall who had it before him, but I say helping, but at those days, I didn't get in there a whole lot. You know, Tommy really ran the thing on his own a whole bunch. And my middle son had gotten interested, and of course, we put him in that. And every chance I could be there to help, I tried to be. But Tommy was a tremendous guy, put all his heart and effort into that program and really built something solid, really good foundation. Well, I found myself a few years later in a position with my career that allowed for some time to get involved a little further. And it didn't take long for Tommy to talk me into taking that youth program. And, of course, he followed my son and his on up to middle school, and he helped there at Beckley Stratton when those boys went there. And I stayed back and continued on with the youth program. Uh-huh. And in those days, Matt Osborne, the current Woodrow head coach now, his son was just really getting involved there. And Matt really started helping much more consistently before I did. And the next thing you know, him and I really took that thing over and ran it together. And it was not a relationship where you could say, hey, this was head coach and these were assistants. And, you know, Matt brought a lot of energy to the table, a lot of good knowledge. He got a really good talent for watching kids and picking out all the little things that they can do to improve and work on. And he does good with the whole group when it comes to that. And so in that team setting. And I think what we found is the strengths of myself and my wife were we were the organizers, right? And so we did a lot of stuff to help organize the meets, keep the kids organized and paid, and, you know, a lot of the logistics of wrestling and uniforms and all those things. And so when I say we, I really mean my wife. She took a whole lot of that on the bear and did a fantastic job with it. And but, yeah, it just made for a really good group and a really successful group. And, again, a great foundation gave us something to really run with. And so it was we were practicing at Woodrow at that time. Coach Surratt had really helped us out and put us in the mat room there. And before you know it, we had like 60 kids on that team. It just had really grown. There was a lot of success. And so we were doing 2 and 3 practices a night, splitting them up just to get them all in there. So a lot of good years at that youth program, a lot of good foundation built. Matter of fact, a big thing we're benefiting at Woodrow right now is a lot of those kids from those days are now in high school and just got a lot of years under their belt.
That Beckley Junior Eagles team, I don't remember all the logistics, but the Beckley Central team, everything used to be within the Y, and then it started growing out, and the Y kind of dropped the program, and teams became independent. And the Beckley Central team actually dissolved for a year or so. Well, Dirk Snuffer and I started the team back up, and I was still coaching at Park. Of course, I was interested in getting a feeder program, and Dirk's boy was just getting into wrestling. So we started a team, and I would just stay after practice, and then the little ones would come in. We practiced there at Park, leave the mats out. Well, he did that 1 year, I think, and then he moved over toward the Independence area. We had a couple other different people that took over the program after. I think Kevin Wilson may have been involved, and then even Alan Fell, when we first started, he was from Oak Hill, but he brought his kid over because Oak Hill didn't have a youth program at that time.
Sure.
And so it's grown considerably. Now, during this time, were you in business with Chris Honecker sometime or another?
That's actually what I do now.
Oh, really? I
work for him since I retired. Yeah. But he had built a house for me. Well, at first he built one for my in-laws, and then he built a house for me in 2014, I think it was, or 15, right in that ballpark. And so I'd actually grown up with Chris Honecker. We grew up in Prosperity together. He's a couple years older than me, but his dad and my dad grew up together, so our families have known each other for years. And we had just, we'd made a really good bond while we were building my house together, and he was He was really, every so often, he'd just reach out and be like, hey, you still in the Army? I got a job for you, you know, and so one of those kind of relationships. And so when it came time to hang it up, I gave him a call, and he put me to work. So, yeah.
Well, Chris came up through the youth he program, did. Too. He wrestled all his dad, Tom, and of course, his uncle, Phil. He coached in the Y program and helped me at Park, you know, yeah. for years, and was a tremendous coach. And Chris, he wrestled at Woodrow, too.
He did.
He yeah. was there. Now then, after the Junior Eagles, you took over the Beckley Strat.
I did. Yes, sir. I ran that program for 2 years, and that was the 2 years just prior to my youngest son going into middle school. And so I was still helping out with the youth as far as kind of being an administrator, if you will. But I had some great guys in the room coaching practice and coaching league matches. And of course, you know, that I don't know when that actually started. I could go back and look. But when I took over that youth program, they were in the Coalfield Conference. So there's an actual conference that they all wrestled in and weren't just independent teams. The big benefit to that is you have conference matches on Saturdays or Sundays. Somebody hosts it. And you'll get at least five matches, and it doesn't cost the kids a dime. You know, the whole team is entered. It's not a cost thing. And now there's entry fees and concession and that kind of stuff, and that's how teams make some money after paying refs and stuff. And so the program was really kind of built to give kids a lot of experience, get them out there and let them wrestle. And then, of course, kids have options to enter opens where you pay your fee and you enter yeah. and you can place and all that. But they're kind of a, I hate to say round robin format, but that's really what your Coalfield matches are. The idea is that you're going to come in and just lose two and have to go home. You come in and wrestle all your matches and go home. You can win them all, you can lose them all, you can split them, however. So it's just really good for experience. But so anyway, after that, I moved up to the middle school program. They didn't have a coach. And I had been talking to Ron Sauls, and he was like, hey, if you'll come, I'll help you. So that was a pretty neat full circle moment for me to get to go and coach with my first coach ever. And of course, Ron, just being the great man that he is, and he worked in the school, which is a huge advantage. And so on those days, I was working in Bluefield quite often. I think my first year I worked in Glen Jean, and I got moved to Bluefield. And so I had to do some real schedule adjustments to get there. But we had a good couple years there. And then as we came up, my youngest son ended up at Park. And so I had a guy, Darius Law, there that was going to take over the youth or the middle school program. And so, you know, we got him involved, and I moved over and started helping Coach Reeves at Park. And so that, again, a lot of our boys from that youth program were all over there. And so there was a good team bonding piece there, and had a good run at Park as well.
Jeremy had, Reeves had some good teams at Park, and then he moved up to the high school when his son yeah. moved up, and Jeremy didn't have a lot of wrestling experience himself. He played football, and but he's smart, and he learns yeah. real quick.
Yeah, I had a lot of conversations, but, you know, I coached his boy Jacob all through the youth program, and Jeremy was one of those guys that was always willing and able to help somewhere. He's a very organized individual, so we definitely appreciate him for that. He keeps us straight a lot, and constantly on us with reminding of, you know, times to leave and what we need, and coolers are packed. And, you know, Jeremy's great at that. And then, like you said, he's a smart guy, and he's a quick study. He's one of those guys that can be in a room, and even if he doesn't know the move, he's watching Coach Osborne or myself or somebody teach a move. And then next thing you know, he's moving around and helping kids do it just like we showed. And so, you know, the thing about Jeremy that really makes up for any time he's, you know, without wrestling that he's had, is he's got a passion for it, and he loves his kids. So if you care about him, I'm telling you, I think anybody can be successful at it in some form or fashion. So.
I know I've been over to some of the youth matches that you guys would have. You usually had a middle school or high school tournament the day before,
yes,
so
sir.
The mats were already out there. But
yeah.
I was impressed when here are 300 kids come running in, and kids, you know how little kids are. They're running all over the place, but all of a sudden it becomes organized and look pretty smooth. And I said, man, I don't know how they do this. You know, it was.
Well, it takes a village. It takes a lot of good people, that's for sure.
And then, I mean, it got to a point you had to have a morning session, an afternoon session, because you had an older group or whatever.
Yes,
and it works. It's working good.
Yeah.
Now, a couple years ago, you actually opened up a training center. Tell me a little bit, the Arsenal. Tell me
yes,
a little bit about that.
So I had my last deployment ran from 2019 through 2020. And of course, COVID year there in the spring of that 2020. And so I didn't come home until sometime in September before I got home from that deployment. And of course, when I got home, wrestling season's about to start. I'm excited and I get home and, you know, COVID has got everything shut down. And so all these kids that we have trained all through the years. And I, you know, I failed to mention that when we were running that youth program, we would do a lot of stuff through the summer. With those kids too. And so we would just have extra practices and workouts and just kind of fit them in wherever we could. A lot of those kids played other sports. So we tried to keep it minimized down to a day or two a week. And so we had been training kids from all over for a long time with that. And we didn't make it team specific. It didn't matter where you're from. And so what happened is we really took that same concept when we come home and all programs were kind of shut down, and I rented out a space, next to a gymnastics gym and put some mats down. And, you know, a lot of our kids that have been with me for years were like, hey, coach, we got to do something. We've just been sitting around the house and we're ready to do something. And so we put all the safety measures in that we could and, you know, took temperatures and all that stuff when kids were coming in. And we did some practices, you know, two or three times a week. And so same concept as an off-season type facility. And, well, next thing you know, I turned around and the room was just full of, you know, 50 kids, and it didn't have a big enough space. And so
these kids came from anywhere,
all over. I had kids from both Greenbriars and Shady and Indy and Oak Hill. And there were kids driving all the way up out of St. Albans and Sissonville and everywhere. And so I had some kids come down from Braxton, and, you know, they weren't there every time the doors were open, but every chance they could get, they would come. And so, it just really, I saw a need and I thought, man, this is a good thing right here. And I'm not in it to make a bunch of money or anything. I just want to pay the bills. And so we started chopping around and we found a bigger place. And that bigger place was split in two rooms. So we made a mat room, and then I bought a bunch of exercise equipment. We made a weight room. And that's really what got the Woodrow Wilson strength training program off the ground and running. So we had a big enough place now to bring everybody in and train. Well, that grew into doing some work with WVU Tech's wrestling team, our high school, and then of course a bunch of the surrounding high schools were coming in. And so then we opened up the weight room side to any and everybody, not sport specific, but just any kid, any school age kid that wanted to increase their strength training capability. We brought them in there and we worked with them a lot on one-on-one. And then that building kind of fell apart on me. I wasn't able to stay there. And so that's when I got involved with Jeff Varney. And Jeff had the sand lot down there in Mabscott, and he had a back room that he was able to clean out. And so we moved all our weights and mats and everything down there. And we were there for a good year and growing like crazy and keeping me busy. I was there every night of the week and about wore me out, to be honest, between me and my wife. So then that building got sold. And so we just had a time finding a place to stay. So we were searching for a place big enough, and we ended up right across the road. The only major difference now is just the amount of space, because, you know, Jeff runs his heating and air business out of there. He's got one side that's a sand lot for baseball and softball. And we took the other side. So we got a nice 30 by 70 mat room in there now. And I just took the weight piece out of it. And now we're just strictly wrestling. And we focus heavy on the off season. And again, kids from all over. I really focus on the middle school, high school ages for that off season stuff. Most of your little guys, not that there's not some out there that wouldn't be there, but a lot of the little guys are still trying out a lot of different sports. And so I don't know that there's a real off season for the majority of them. I think you could get a handful in there, but I think you probably have some challenges always trying to find them a partner and things too. So a lot of the middle school and high school kids are pretty committed to it. And even the ones that play some football find their way in there on the days they can. So we really run from March, April timeframe all the way down through September, October, and we'll travel. We put teams together and we enter opens and things like that. Of course, not a mandatory part. But we practice a couple of days a week, usually around about 2 hours, an hour and a half, 2 hours each time.
And it doesn't matter where the kids go to school. It's just no. Open to anybody. Now, I have been in a new building, one that had the sand lot, originally had the sand lot in front of it. I've been there, the old Corley building.
Yeah.
And you say the new building is not quite as big.
It's a little bit smaller, yes.
A little
sir.
Bit smaller.
Yeah.
And I went down there one day, and I didn't want to beat on the door or anything, but it had a combination lock, I think, on the front. I didn't get in, so I just said, well, I'll do it some other time. But now the Independence Middle and Park Middle and the Coalfield Elite team, they all practice down there.
They do. Yes, sir. That's really the in-season use for that room. Is my number one priority was keeping the youth program running. So that Coalfield youth program is really the Beckley team, the Indy team, and the Liberty team all mixed together. Now it's ran by Nick Hilton, who does a great job. Got a lot of good help there with some of the dads and stuff. All of them got some wrestling time under their belt. So he's got a humongous team. I mean, we're talking 100-plus kids that he keeps rolling in there. And so that was always my priority during the end season. And then, of course, it's became a good place for, like, Parks getting a gym built. So they're limited to cafeteria and moving tables and rolling mats out. And so they're able to get in there right after school and practice. Indy Middle School shares the high school room. And so there's certain days of the week that they have some trouble getting practice time in, just depending on what the high school schedule is. And so there's a handful of days a week that they use the room as well. And so just keeping them all split up in schedule and coming in and out at the same time. But the room honestly gets more use during the in season than it does off season. And then, of course, it's a good place for, because it is a standalone business and not school affiliated, you know, when you have these days that kids can't practice at the school, maybe it's a, you know, weather day or something of that nature, even holidays, then we've got a place to go and kids can get some extra time in.
How do you keep the heat and the lights on? Somebody's got to pay some bills.
Yeah, so each one of those schools that I just mentioned, they do pay a fee to be in there each month. Usually the youth program will give me one fee for the whole season, you know, and that'll run them through November all the way to March, just for their kids that want to do the youth state stuff. And then each middle school, we just do a monthly fee for them based on how much they use the place. And then, of course, in the off season, it's per kid. We charge $75 a month per kid for a couple of days a week. And again, that comes with coaching. So we've got numerous of us that will come in and keep the format running and teaching. And of course, one of our big advantages there is a lot of our guys have already graduated, moved on to college. Those guys come in often, and we put them in there to show things and teach things that they've learned at their level, too. So, you know, kids love that part.
Yeah, you've had some couple instructors. You had Josh Humphreys down there.
Yes, sir.
And All-American from Lehigh University and finished third in the country. And he, Parkersburg South graduate. And
yeah.
The thing about Josh Humphrey is he's not only a good wrestler, but he's a smart guy. When you go to Lehigh, you're going to be pretty smart anyway. And he's an academic All-American. And he's kind of the guy that you want your kids to be around.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, he's good with those guys. They relate to him. He relates well to them. They listen to him. And they, you know, I hear every time we've went down to his place at Mahindra a few times in St. Albans. And every time we do, the kids are like, Josh Humphrey said this. Josh Humphrey said that. And Lord knows I've learned plenty from just watching him as well. So that's always a big advantage for us. And anytime we have somebody come in, I like to be there and watch and learn myself. So. You'll never be done learning with this sport, as you all know.
No. Now, you get some of the other towns have facilities like the Mahindra Garage at St. Albans. I think Ripley's got the Mountain State Power place, and Felix Academy in Morgantown, and the Dirty Dungeon in Parkersburg. I mean, it seems like everybody's got some kind of a facility, a go-to facility other than the schools. Now, you spent 28 years in the Army. You retired. I know I've seen a quote one time that you said that one of the reasons you work with wrestlers, you felt like you've been successful and you wanted to contribute your success to the time in wrestling. And so you wanted to give those tools to the soon-to-be adults that you're working with. And I think that's to contribute to society and life. But you had, I know back in April, I think it was, you went with a couple other people to the county commission to honor some World War II veterans.
Yes, sir.
People that were ahead of you. And there's not many World War II veterans out there anymore.
No, sir.
And that was quite I think it was quite a tribute to those guys. That was totally unexpected for these guys. And most of those guys got to be in their 90s or
absolutely
like that.
That's a special era of people, in my opinion. You know, those guys, I think about the multiple deployments I had and all the different soldiers and families I've worked with throughout those deployments. I was a very fortunate individual with a strong home life and a good wife, and I didn't have to be over there worried about what was going on back here. And, you know, sadly, not every soldier can say that. But what is so impressive to me about the World War II generation, the greatest generation, is those guys went, first off, what they did was far more difficult than anything I felt like I ever faced on a deployment. But those guys, when they came home, they just integrated back into society. You know, some of those guys left as school teachers and came back to be a school teacher. And you think about the two drastic differences in those worlds. And when they came back, they truly believed everything they were fighting for. Now they just wanted to be a part of it. And, you know, and that's something to me that just speaks loudly and it helps me set my own goals. And so any chance I get to thank or honor one of those guys for what they did and the difficulty that I now understand it takes to do that, to come back and reintegrate back into society and just be a contributor, it's just special to me. And so any chance I get to do that or even do my best to live up to that, that's what I want to do. And then, of course, I can pass that on. I really want to pass that on. And so, you know, the off-season facility, I seen a need to up our game, if you will, to go to the next level. And you watch the top programs in the state and even out of the state when we travel some national events, these guys are putting around-the-clock time into their sport. And I don't tell people this is something you have to do, but I've got enough kids dedicated to this sport alone that it was worth opening a place. So I wanted to do that for the sport of wrestling, but I really wanted to do that knowing that I would say half or more of the kids coming through there may not even go past the college level. Some of them may not even go to the college level, but what they will be is members of society no matter what. So it's important to me that they get a good foundation that they can get. You know, and I'm thankful for my parents, but I'm thankful for the Ron Sauls and all those guys that were a part of my life growing up that taught me something about being a grown man. And so everybody get to contribute to who I was as a person. So I do want to take that opportunity to help contribute to somebody else. I care about these boys and what they do is difficult, as you know, in my opinion, one of the toughest sports there is. And not just physically. You hear a lot about the physical, but the mental aspect of this sport is difficult. And so any chance I can translate the difficulty of this sport to the difficulty of the life we live, I feel like we're just going to have some better citizens, if you will, people that are contributing and understand that they play a role in this society.
Well, I wrote an article one time, maybe a couple of times, about some of the people in the community that had wrestling backgrounds.
Yes.
And people were shocked because they didn't know, you know, this doctor over here was and this guy over here. And I mean, it was, you'd be surprised that they're all around.
They're all around, yes, sir.
And most of them are very successful in what they do and good people. Let's talk about the last year at Woodrow. First of all, the coaching staff at Woodrow, you got Matt Osborne, who was Coach of the Year in West Virginia last year. I'm sure he would like to spread that those honors among his staff. But they only pick one. And then Jeremy Reeves, Logan Brown, who came from Richwood. I watched Logan wrestle all the way through high school. Yep. He's a tough, great guy, too, man. And you and Bob Johnson, is it?
Yep, Bob Johnson.
I don't know Bob as well, but I know who he is. And,
sure.
So you guys have got did I leave anybody out?
Adam Bales.
Yeah. Well, I coached Adam and Matt and Jeremy, and they turned out pretty good in spite of my coaching. But but all those guys are willing to put the time in. And and you had last year when me and my wife went to the state tournament, we walked in the door, and Bill Archer's wife, who we know very well, she comes up. She said, "Those Beckley boys are doing pretty good."
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, I know." And she said, "They're really wrestling good." And so it doesn't happen by accident. But you guys had three state champions.
Yes, sir.
You had one runner up. You had one. Ethan Osborne was voted the most outstanding wrestler in the Triple A. You were 2.5 points, I guess, out of second.
Yes, sir.
And you had three other place winners, including your son.
Yes, sir.
And I actually thought the two biggest, and I say surprises, and I don't mean this derogatory, but two of the eye-openers on the Beckley team was Tyler Rourke at 126. Mm-hmm. Nobody expected him. Nobody gave him credit to win. And your son placed nobody had actually put him down as a potential place winner. And he had a good, he had a pretty good tournament.
He did. He had a great tournament. And I tell you, it was one of those where, you know, he did not get a lot of preseason ranking love, if you will. But man, he worked really, really hard. And he had one of those, you know, you always hear coaches and wrestlers say, man, it's a tough weight class, right? Well, you know, they're all tough. Every single one of them has got some All-American level kids in them and kids that will probably go to college. What made Vance's weight class particularly tough that year was it was deep. So, you know, everybody had one or two. His had four or five really tough kids that could potentially, and in my opinion, the top two guys were pretty decided just based on the whole year. Everybody felt like they knew who the top two would be. But then your third through sixth place, could we could wrestle that today and it'd be all mixed up. You know, those guys were all really even. They could all win one or lose one against each other at any given moment. And so that's what made his weight class a little tougher. And he did. He absolutely went to, it's the best I'd ever seen him mindset-wise. His faith was strong, and he was just there ready to wrestle. The big lights didn't bow him down any. And so he was really, really close to winning his match to go for third and fourth. I mean, within a, he had a crackdown position. If he could have pulled his arm out and scored two, he'd have been wrestling for third and fourth. Tough kid, Parkersburg South. Nate Murphy kid, he was a really good wrestler. And so then he went into his next match very determined after that one. You know, it never did slow him down. So he went into that next match, and he actually beat Ripley kid, Ethan Kay, that had beat him earlier in the year. And he had won that match and pinned him. And so he was he had a great tournament. It's just some of those, you know, as a coach and especially as a father, and you get to watch some of those internal battles that I talked about with that, the mental strength game of wrestling. I watched him really grow right there. He's always been a great wrestler, but now that he's growing in that mental capacity, it's really exciting.
Yeah.
And a lot of those kids are.
Now let's talk about the 2023-2024 team.
Yeah.
And of course, again, I'm going to say that Parkersburg South has got to be considered. Last year, everybody talked about Wheeling Park and Morgantown. Wheeling Park and Morgantown are university. And then all of a sudden, there's Parkersburg South. And I kept saying, they got to beat them. They got to. And Parkersburg South wins the Triple-A State Championship. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they're going to be a favorite this year. And it, but University and Wheeling Park didn't lose a lot of guys either.
No, they're both strong.
And what's the Beckley team? What do you got coming?
So I tell you, we feel better about our team this year than we did last year, which says a lot because we felt great last year. You know, most of our state champions and placers were 10th graders last year. Now they're 11th graders. And so we're bringing back all our state champions except for Ethan Osborne. We're bringing back all our placers except for Jay Jones. And so that's a pretty good starting roster right there by itself. Last year we struggled. We went down there with three empty weight classes. This year we're filled up right now. We hope to continue that, keep everybody healthy. And although we have a lot of new guys on the team, there's a pretty large ninth grade outcome for the team and then several first-year wrestlers. We're really satisfied with the amount of athleticism and heart and drive that those kids have, even the new kids. So they're picking things up quickly. It's a high-energy room, and I tell you, as hard as it is to be a new kid in a room like that, you can't ask for a better room to be a new kid. They're going to see it all, and they're going to wrestle against a bunch of tough kids every day at practice. You know, and so we just took a trip down to Huntington for the Huntington scrimmage that we do every year, which is really, really just a big practice. You know, there's a lot of kids there. And we really liked what we saw, especially some of our new kids as we're moving around the room. And, you know, they do basically these two-minute drills where you drill with a partner, and then that 2 minutes is up, and you go over here and drill with another partner, and we're pretty happy with where we are. Of course, we got a list of things that we want to work on, but looking around the room it's really exciting, really exciting. So anxious to get into our first tournament and build from there.
Well, good. Well, I do appreciate you coming by and talking to us, and I can't wait to you guys start. Of course, this won't be out till you have wrestled, but you guys will begin with your own little tournament on December the 2nd, and then you go to Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
And so you'll get some action there. But I want to remind people that these kids are in good hands with the Beckley coaching staff.
Yeah.
And Jeff, keep on doing what you're doing. And anytime you want to talk, come back and see me.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. And I could talk about wrestling all day long, but I'm sure I better get back to work. But I love what you're doing, Wayne. I love that you're getting the word out there. And so, special sport, special bunch of kids that are going to be great men and women one day that do it. So anytime we can grow that, we're willing to help.
Thank you. Well, anybody else out there would like to be on our program, you can contact me at awminute50@gmail.com, and we'll get you on here. And until next time, remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. And God bless you.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. Today, 'cause there ain't